Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Gospel according to Mark, beginning with the 9th chapter at the 38th verse. Glory to you, Lord. So John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop them because they weren't following us. But Jesus said, Hey, don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. And if any one of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believed in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God without one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire, and salt is good. But if it has lost its saltiness, how can it season you? Have salt in yourself. And be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. William Barclay was a great British theologian and biblical scholar. And he tells of a personal tragedy that occurred in his own life. His 21-year-old daughter and her fiancé were both drowned in a boating accident. And months after that event, he received an anonymous letter that said this: Dear Dr. Barclay, I know now why God killed your daughter. It was to save her from the corruption of your heresy. Barclay tells us that if he had an address for this person, he would have written to that individual, not in anger, but in pity, and told his mean-spirited correspondent, your God is not the God I believe in. Our gospel for today is a reading that never appears on anyone's gotta read it again list of favorite Bible passages. Here we have Jesus' word about millstones around the neck, plucking out an eye, and other forms of self-mutilization. They are not, of course, a summary of the gospel that we would share with someone who was expressing an interest in Christianity. As we read these extreme words from Jesus, we got to remember something. We got to remember that our Lord was running out of time, so to speak. The words we read today were in effect his last words to his disciples in their native territory there at the Sea of Galilee, because very soon he will begin that journey towards Jerusalem and all of the things that are going to await him there. Jesus, he doesn't need to really impress his disciples, but he wants them to know, and he wants us to know, that the way we live our lives does matter. We do not need to earn our salvation, because that's a gift from God. But we need to live as blessed by God, and we need to point people towards Jesus through our words and through our deeds. I do not believe that Jesus wants us to take him literally when he talks about gouging out eyes and cutting off hands. But I think he does want us to take him seriously. And we certainly are, in our own ways, obsessed with physical appearance, with maintaining good health, eating the right things, and getting our daily exercise. But Jesus wants us to remember that the spiritual dimension of our life is just as important as all those other things we're doing. And what's more, our uniqueness as Jesus' disciples is rooted not in the grandeur of our confession of faith, nor our understanding of his teaching, nor in the glory and beauty of our worship, but rather it's rooted in our identity as disciples of Jesus Christ, who have been called to serve and to welcome others, particularly the least of our brothers and sisters. Again and again, Jesus is clear that as members of the church here on earth, we need to see our role as like a congenial host or hostess at a great dinner party. Jesus wants no bouncers at the door of this party, no strict adherence to someone else's guest list. But rather, he wants all who come to be welcomed, all who come to be enfolded in our society. And he has some mighty harsh words for those who would seek to create limits or barriers separating those he calls those little ones who believe in me. So I want you to think about that. And think of that next time when you hear someone with a churchy voice condemn a particular group or category of people because of their lifestyle or their race, their religion, or anything that makes them different from us. Beware of those who claim to know the mind of God and therefore feel justified in discriminating attitudes. I'm drying out my throat, so I gotta get it. Our gospel is a powerful call for tolerance and for reserving our judgment of others. You'll remember some of the disciples were upset that they found a person casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they wanted to march right over there and put a restraining order against this unlicensed exorcist. But Jesus says, hey, he demonstrated a delightful forbearance towards this stranger who was doing good in his name. And he turns and tells his disciples, whoever is not against us is for us. How much we need to reflect on this wisdom at a time when so many people, in the name of Christianity, want to set up standards that exclude people, keep them out. That's why we have here at this church a passion to see the church be about the work of mission, calling people into life, transforming relationships with Jesus Christ. Our greatest fear ought to be that we will somehow disregard our purpose, forget the Great Commission, and slowly be transformed into some sort of ecclesiastical social club that admits only members and grants them only privileges. This is a danger for any congregation. But it's a challenge certainly for us here at All Saints Lutheran Church as well. You know, we have a glorious tradition, and we worship in a beautiful place here. But we are more than a historical society. We are more than a preservation group. We address these issues, but we are first and foremost a Christian congregation. And you know, if we ever lose sight of that, we will be dreadfully lost and confused. Jesus said, or William Barclay said to that person, "Your God is the God I don't believe in." Those are wonderful words from Barclay. And they are a challenge to us as we deal with the powerful teachings in our gospel, where Jesus extols an irregular healer who was accomplishing wonderful things, even if the disciples begrudge him any praise or recognition. Jesus sees great merit in the simple act of offering water to a thirsty person, something that has nothing to do with church membership or orthodox doctrine, but it has everything to do with kindness and compassion that Christ wants to see in us. Jesus stresses to us the holy obligation of protecting the vulnerable people of our world by once again using the example of a child, reminding us that there's nothing more terrible than the abuse or neglect of a child. And finally, our Lord concludes his teaching with these extreme statements that insist participation in the kingdom of God is worth any sacrifice or discipline we might assume. But at the end of the day, we must understand that only obedience to God's will can we truly know the joy and peace which passes all understanding. So who then is on the Lord's side? Hopefully, we're all on the Lord's side. And I want you to know something. We're not alone. The Christian church encompasses a world of Christian communities. All around the world, there are churches, and they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you want to put it simply, in our baptism, we have been called to commence a sacred journey today. We haven't arrived at our destination, nor are we expected to earn our salvation somehow through our mighty deeds and accomplishments. But here's what is expected. We are on the Lord's side, and the Spirit of the living God is leading us. So let us press on today in faith and in confidence, knowing, not in knowing everything, but instead we can say we know Jesus and that he has promised to lead us in the path we are traveling, and that as we travel that path, he will be with us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.